We have a few passages that we are going to look at today in the Gospel of Luke. As we look at joy in Jesus, we have declared that we are in what, the third Sunday of the Advent season. Advent began the Sunday right after Thanksgiving, and Advent speaks of the coming of Jesus Christ. It is a reference to not only his first coming, which we know as the incarnation, the Son of God coming to dwell among men, but it is also looking forward to his return, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So when we enter into the Advent season, we are remembering the birth of Jesus Christ, but also realizing that, you know what, this same Jesus that left is coming back again. Amen. So that first Sunday, that first thought that we introduced as we focused on the Advent scent was, the Advent season was hope. Because when you think about Christ, when you think about the Christmas season, it's surrounded by hope. And that no matter what your situation is, I want you to know that when you put your hope and your trust in God, God is able to give you hope. Because he is the God who is able to change circumstances. He is the God who is looking before you. He is the God who has already set up a plan before it ever comes into your view. And if you can just put your trust in him, he will give you hope even in the midst of bad circumstances, even in the midst of bad situations. And so we want to talk about he is the God of hope, and that hope is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. For Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise of God. The Word of God declares that every promise that God has made, and they are many, they are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to experience the best that God has to offer, you got to get it through Jesus Christ. It has to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus is a hope for the world. Secondly, we introduce faith. So we said that not only must we put our hope in God, but then we talked about we've got to be able to stand up on faith. And we went to those words that Elizabeth proclaimed to Mary as Mary came to visit her after she had become pregnant. And Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord spoke through the angel will be accomplished." We talked about faith being this idea of believing that what God has declared will be accomplished. That doesn't mean that you understand how all the pieces fit together. All you need to know is that God said it. And if God said it, he has the ability to accomplish what he has said. Amen. And faith for you and me says that I don't know. I don't know how the ends are going to meet. I don't know how the pieces are going to come together, but God has declared it in his word. And it doesn't matter that I don't understand it. My life is in the hands of a God who does understand it. So if you can put your life in his hands and just keep holding on, hang on to your faith, you can be assured that God will be delivered. Can I tell you that it doesn't matter what the situation looked like today? If you just put your faith in God and keep calling out to God and keep crying out to God and keep saying, "God, you know what the situation needs to be." If you just keep trusting him, God gonna show you something. Sorry, I had to get personal for a moment. God gonna show you something. Amen. Faith is not throwing in the towel. Amen. And we talked about how Abraham received a promise from God, and it took a long time for that promise to come to pass. The word of God says that without wavering in his faith, Abraham kept trusting God. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to not waver, to stand firm and believe. If you do not throw in the towel, if you maintain your confidence, If you maintain your faith, God will deliver. By the way, your faith has to be in what God declares. Don't make up stuff. Don't name it and claim it if God ain't named it. Amen. We're in a season now where folk think that they can reorder what God has said. We're in a season now where folk think that, you know, all I got to do is claim it. No, you need to make sure God has said it. And if God has said it, now all of a sudden you can name it. And when you name it, you stand on it. And you stand on it and give God the opportunity to deliver on what he has proclaimed. So I just want to make sure that you're not exercising faith in something that God has not declared. If you're doing that, you're going to be disappointed. And then when you're disappointed, you're going to say, but God, I thought you said, God's going to say, no, I didn't say that. So no. Told you if you stand up on my word, you can be assured that it never returns to me void or empty. And so our faith is placed upon the spoken word of God. Our faith is placed upon what God declared and is placed in the person of Jesus Christ. So we said our faith in God needs to be in Christ alone. You can't try to exercise faith in God outside of Jesus Christ. The word of God declares, Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus declared that he was the door, that he is the gate, and that the only way you get to the Father is through him. The only way you exercise your faith is through him. That's why his word declares that when you and I begin to pray and to call out his name, how do we do it? We do it in the name of Jesus. That we need not ever be ashamed or afraid to pray in the name of Jesus. Let me say it this way. If you want your prayer to actually get to God, you better put it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can pray. And if you all of a sudden get scared to put it in the name of Jesus, well. And, you know, those around you will threaten you about using the name of Jesus. But I just want you to know that if you want your request, your petition to make it from earth to heaven, he has declared to you and me that the gateway, the passage, that the password, the passcode, however you want to use it, is Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. The very Son of God gets you access to the Father. The Father hears when you stand up on the name of Jesus. So you exercise your faith in God through Christ alone. So today, we want to talk about joy in Jesus, because that is another part of the Advent. When you think about the coming of Christ, it comes with hope, it comes with faith, and it also comes with joy. It comes with joy. And I told you there were a couple of places that I wanted to take you in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, to talk about joy. The first one, because I think it helps us get grounded in our definition of what joy looks like, actually is when the angel spoke to Zechariah. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verse number 14. And I think I'll read just for the context of it, beginning with verse 11. Read it so that you see exactly what's taking place. And this is going to help us understand a little bit more about joy. Luke chapter 1, verse 11, it says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. The him is Zechariah. Zechariah is standing at the altar of incense. He is praying. And when standing at the right side of the altar of incense, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." Look at verse 14. John is going to be a joy and delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. So you remember the setting. The setting is that Zacharias is a priest, and the people have gathered to pray. Zechariah has been selected to be the priest that goes in and offers prayers and offers up incense before the Lord. As Zechariah enters into the holy place, the people are on the outside. They are praying and waiting for Zechariah to finish his work and come back. The angel of the Lord shows up in Zechariah's experience while he's at church trying to carry out his function. And the angel says to him, "Your prayer has been heard. You and your wife are going to bear a son. You're going to have a child." And as we've shared with you before, this is a big deal because Zechariah and his wife are up in age. They're old. They've been trying for years but haven't been successful in having a child. And Luke, who is a doctor, states that Elizabeth was actually barren, unable to conceive and bear children. And so this message that comes from the angel to Zechariah says there's something amazing about to happen in your experience. I've heard your prayer, and God has responded by saying you and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a child. Can I just tell you that God specializes in the impossible? And I love Zechariah and Elizabeth's story, because when Luke starts to talk about it, he said that they were faithful people, they were devout people, they were righteous people, that even in their disappointment, they still serve God. I love that they didn't allow their disappointment to say, "You know, I tried this God, but he didn't deliver." No, they stay true. And even though they are disappointed, they are grieved by the fact that they don't have a child, they yet stay faithful unto the Lord. And on this day, as they have gathered, Zechariah is simply carrying out his function. The angel shows up and says that, "I've heard your prayer." Amazing. We don't know what Zechariah was praying for, but his job was to be in there praying for the nation. He wasn't supposed to be in there praying for himself, right? Amen. It's almost like this. When we invite someone up to pray for the congregation, the expectation is not that person comes up and begins to espouse all of their personal desires and prayers and all of their personal issues as they are praying for the congregation. Their job is to come up and they are to say, "Okay, now here I am standing in the gap. Let me pray bigger than me. Let me pray for what God is doing, not only in my experience, but what he's doing in the experience, let's say, of the local body, and also what he's doing in the experience of the community, and also what he's doing in the experience of the city, the state, the nation." You get the picture, right? It's like you're not up here to start praying for yourself. Amen. And so Zechariah, as he's there, his job is not to be in there, "Now that I've got the spotlight, I'm going to be in here petitioning God just for me and Elizabeth." And so with that in mind, the thought is that Zechariah is not there actually praying for him and Elizabeth, but the angel comes and says, "Your prayer has been answered." It is believed that Zechariah, along with others, have been praying for the coming of the Messiah. Because it had been prophesied that God would send one, a Messiah, to rescue his people. And because it had been prophesied, it is believed that every opportunity they stood in the gap praying for God to fulfill his promise. And the angel is coming to deliver a message saying that the prayer that you've been praying has been answered. And oh, by the way, you're going to get some benefit out of it. Don't you like that? I get excited about the fact that when I'm praying for other folks, that God will actually look at me and say, oh, you're going to get some benefit out of it. And listen, it's not just me, but if you start making it a habit of praying for other folks and interceding in the midst of them, what God is saying is that I've heard your prayer. And by the way, you're going to get some benefit out of it. Because God is not the kind of God who will skip you. He's the kind of God who will say, I see your faithfulness. I see your heart. But look, even more, I see what you stand in the need of. And because you've been petitioning on behalf of another, I'm going to give you what you didn't even ask for. Oh, y'all going to make me get excited all by myself. And so he's standing there petitioning for the nation. God says, sends an angel to say to him, listen, I've heard your prayer. And he tells them that they are going to have a child. Zechariah then is there, startled and gripped because of the presence of the angel. But the angel goes on to declare to Zechariah some things about this child that they are going to bring forth. He says he will be a joy and delight to you. Now, the reason I went through all that exercise is because I want you to see where Zechariah is living. Zechariah and Elizabeth are old. They have resolved in their mind that, well, there won't be an heir for my family. They've resolved in their mind that they won't have children. But yet, they've remained faithful to God. But resolved in their mind that this is one of those prayers that we pray that I've just got to put it over here and leave it because we pass the age of bringing forth children. And so one side of it is this. Zechariah, while he's being faithful, can you kind of see where he and Elizabeth might be when they start thinking about children, get a little downcast? Can you see that when they're gathered with the relatives and everybody else has their children? Can you see where? Because part of it says in their culture, Elizabeth, part of her worth, her value was to be able to produce an heir, was to be able to produce a son. So part of it was her identity was caught up in the fact that of her motherhood. And so you can kind of see how, man, they are in this place of where we prayed, we've been faithful, we've been serving, but we haven't received. And so a little bit downcast. That's the backdrop of what the angel says, he will be a joy and delight to you. Joy and delight. First of all, he's going to be a joy to you because you're going to get a child in your old age. Amen. That's the first thing. You're going to get what you've been praying for. So he's going to be a joy and a delight to you. So you're going to be excited. You're going to be filled with this expression that you just can't contain, that no matter what else is going on around you, you're going to have joy because of what you receive. I love the next part. He says not only a joy, but he's also going to be a light. That means that this boy that we're giving you ain't going to be no problem. Amen. Amen. It says that he has been set aside to do a work and he's not going to be rebellious. He's going to recognize his call, the call that's up on his life, and he's not going to try to throw it off like, no, I ain't going to do that. He's going to acknowledge the fact that God gave me to you in your old age so that you can be a keeper and watcher over me. And mama and daddy, I just want to honor you and honor God. Or better yet, I want to honor God by honoring you. And so I'm not going to be a headache in your life. And so he's going to be both a joy and a delight. So joy. Think about this. Joy is the response of those who see God at work.
either through Jesus or through his followers. But joy is a response. It's not something that you keep to yourself, right? It's a response to something that God is doing. It's also, it is that behavior, that attitude, that expression that characterizes those who put their faith in God. So joy is a response from those who see God at work. And so the angel is saying to Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. You're going to have a baby. He's going to be a joy and delight in your life. Well, you know, the second part of Zechariah's response to the angel was, he was like, how can I be sure of this? Because you know what? Me and my wife are old. And you remember that he had to lose his ability to speak for about 9 months because the angel says that this is going to be the evidence or the proof that I've come from God. I'm delivering truth to you, is that you won't be able to talk until what I've declared has come to pass. So then he's going to get a chance to see on the backside God at work. Because he knows that when his wife conceives, when she is with child, that it's a supernatural thing that is happening. It is a miracle that is happening. In fact, when the angel visits Mary, he says to Mary, listen, your relative Elizabeth, who is old, is going to have a child. She's already in her 6th month. And then he adds this incredible statement, because nothing shall be impossible with God. Zechariah realizes that when Elizabeth conceives, that this is the work of God. This is the work of God. And when the angel declares that he's going to be a joy and delight to you, the angel is already foretelling what's going to happen with Zechariah when he sees this baby boy come forth, that there's going to be an eruption in his spirit, an eruption in his soul that can be expressed by nothing but joy. And it will not only be a joy to him, but everybody around is going to be excited about what God is doing, because everybody knows Elizabeth is old. Everybody knows Elizabeth and Zechariah have been trying to have children. Everybody knows that this thing right here came from the Lord. And so in response, they're going to be filled with joy and excitement about what they see God doing. See, you and I can have joy in Jesus because we see Jesus doing some incredible work in our lives and in our circumstances. And when you and I see God at work through the person of Jesus Christ, our expression should be joy. That I see what Jesus is doing in your life. Joy. Amen. That there is an excitement about you. Joy. Can I just tell you that it will help you? It really will. When you start looking for what Jesus is doing and saying, let your joy flow out of me, it'll help you. What it will do is, you know what? It'll make you go around smiling, looking goofy all the time. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because you're looking and God is showing you what he's doing, and you just sitting there looking, God, he's so bad. He's just tough. And you sitting there and people are like, what's wrong with you? And then it'll give you the opportunity to show them, well, see, right there, what happened? God is at work. All because you were willing to look goofy for God. Amen. So you don't try to bottle your joy in, because if you try to bottle your joy in, it's going to have the opposite effect. It's going to make you sick. Amen. Amen. You try to bottle it in, you can't do it, because when you start to see God at work and all of a sudden you're trying to hold it in, you're going to blow up. This is a revelation. I just got this. Some of y'all might have high blood pressure issues because you're refusing to express joy. Listen. He's trying to have you be an expression of who he is, but you fighting. Like, no. Mm-mm. I ain't going to be happy. I ain't gonna smile. Because joy makes you smile, right? You ever seen a joyful person? No, joy has a way of impacting you, and when you refuse to allow it to operate, then the reverse starts to happen. I'm just saying. Okay, I tell you what, try it for 30 days and see what happens. See if you don't feel better just for 30 days. Just let an expression of joy flow out of you. Okay, that was a side note. Let's get back here. So he says he will be a joy and delight because of what is going to happen. Zachariah is going to see the response of God in their situation. It's going to result in him having an expression of joy. Let's go to another place in the Gospel of Luke and see if we can't find this to be true. So I want you to go to Luke chapter 1 and go to verse number 67. So Elizabeth, the wife of Zachariah, has become pregnant. She has expressed her excitement about being a carrier of this promise. In fact, she has talked about how God has blessed her to be able to be the recipient of this child. We didn't read it, but the word says that Elizabeth, when she got pregnant, she stayed secluded for 5 months. That she didn't go anywhere. She changed her habits. She didn't go out. And so it was like about 5 months before people realized that something strange was going on in Zachariah and Elizabeth's house. She stayed to herself. And then she delivers. She delivers the baby. And when she delivers the baby, her relatives and everyone have gathered around because she has now delivered the baby, and they want to know. So what are you guys going to name this baby? Because they expected the baby to be named after Zachariah or someone in his family. Elizabeth, because remember, Zachariah cannot talk. Remember, his mouth has been shut up for the entire duration of this pregnancy. And so Elizabeth is the one who is having to speak on behalf of the family. And so they say, what do you want to name him? She says, we want to name him John. And they respond to her. All of her family, her community respond to her and say, you don't have anybody by the name of John in your family. Why are you trying to take this name John? And so they then look at Zachariah, who can't talk, and they say to him, well, what do you want to name this boy? So he motions to them and he says, get me something to write with. And when they get him something to write with, he writes, his name shall be called John on the writing tablet or utensil. And the moment that he makes this statement about his name shall be called John, the Bible says that he then is filled with the Holy Spirit, because his mouth opens up and he begins to prophesy. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 67, let's get this expression of joy. He says, praise be to the God, to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Then he speaks of the child. He says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. It was his expression of great joy as he was responding to what God was doing. Now, you need to remember that Jesus is about 6 months younger than John the Baptist, because it was in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that Jesus, that Mary actually conceives. So he's about 6 months, somewhere in that time frame, younger than John the Baptist. So as Zechariah is prophesying, he is talking about what he is seeing God doing. He is believed that God has delivered John, but greater than that, he's believed that the baby that Mary is carrying is going to be the Christ child, Jesus, the one that God has promised. And he's excited about what he says. Look again at verse number 69. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us from the house, or in the house of his servant David. He's not talking about John the Baptist. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is going to be the savior of his world. And then Zechariah, as he's looking at what God is doing, he's rejoicing, filled with joy, has an expression proclaiming, look at what God is doing. You don't see it yet, but keep waiting. It's coming. Watch this. He's going to do this because God said he was going to send a savior, and God is about to fulfill his promise. He was just excited, not only about what God had done, but what God was going to do. And so joy also becomes an expression not only about what God has done in your life, but also what God will do in your life. Not only what God has done in our circumstances, but what God will do in our circumstances. It's like, you know what? I'm excited and filled with joy about what God has done, but I'm also excited and filled with joy about what God is going to do. Wait a minute. You mean I don't have a moment to be sad? I don't have a moment to be all downcast because I'm caught up in what God has done and what God will do. I'm celebrating what he's done and I'm looking toward what he will do. In the midst of it all, I remember what he has done, and it helps me to know that he will do in the future. So it is this great expression of joy that Zechariah comes out and he releases from his mouth. It talks about, praise be to God for what he has done for me and Elizabeth. But oh my, you ain't seen nothing yet, because this boy that he gave us, he's going to be a forerunner. He's going to go before the Lord and he's going to open up the way. And you remember John's gospel, the Bible, what John the Baptist proclaimed. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, John was saying, get ready. Get ready. Something coming. Get ready. Get your heart ready. Repent. Get your heart ready, because something coming. Get ready. And so John was going through and he was proclaiming and preaching, I want you to receive what God is sending. So you got to get ready, because God ain't going to come in and fill an empty vessel, a dirty vessel. He needs you to go ahead and get ready and get clean. God is going to allow you to see something great when you repent and get ready. And so John went before Jesus saying, repent, 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 get ready. And in the spirit of John the Baptist, I say to you today, repent, 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 get ready. And repent means to change the way you think about Jesus, change the way you see God. Repent means that you got to get a new view. Yes, I know that repent, we've traditionally taught that repent is the idea of I'm going one way and I stop and I repent and I turn and go another way. Well, that is a true expression of what the word repent means. But when the apostles came and they were telling folks to repent, what they were saying with folks was, you need to change the way you think about Jesus. Jesus is more than just a good prophet. What? You mean you going to put the Son of God in a box that says all he can do is preach? Shame on you. Jesus was more than just a good teacher, because what he taught, he did it in such a way that it was rememberable. Shame on you if you just gonna make him a good teacher. Jesus is more than just a good teacher. Jesus was and is the Son of God. He is the representation, the exact representation of the living God. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the one who left heaven and came to dwell with men. Jesus has no limit. You can't put a box around Jesus. Remove your boundaries. And I'm saying to you, repent. Change the way you think about Jesus. Take him out of your box. Because he was there in the beginning. It was him who established the foundations of the world. It was him who said with the Father, let there be. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what? The Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Repent and change the way you think about Jesus. Take your limits off of him, because if you take your limits off of Jesus, you will see Jesus do great and mighty works in your life and in your experience, and he will use you as a vehicle and a vessel to go and tell others about his love. Amen. Amen. So Zechariah erupts with joy. Can I take you to another place? Thank you. Thank you. Stay in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, I want you to go back and look at Mary's song. And that's found in verse number 46. Luke chapter 1 starts at verse number 46. And we know, again, Mary, who believed what the angel spoke to her, believed that what the Lord had said would be accomplished in her, had this magnificent expression when Elizabeth said what she said. Oh. Before I go there, I just got to tell you, watch how this works. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. Bible says that the moment that Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, remember the baby that Elizabeth is carrying is John the Baptist. The moment that Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, John inside her womb starts breakdancing. He gets excited. The mother of the Savior just walked in, but what he sensed was the Savior incubating. He got excited. And so Elizabeth said, the moment I heard your voice, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And then she began to proclaim with great joy. How is it that the mother of my Lord, remember, she's thinking about what God has done, but looking forward to what God will do. How is it that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? She's excited. She says, that's when she makes that declaration to Mary that says that blessed is the one, blessed are you for believing that what was said to you will be accomplished. And then Mary breaks out in verse number 46, this is what I was about to say, by the way, is that isn't it amazing how you and I have the ability to incite joy in one another? Isn't that amazing? Do you know why? Because the Spirit in you encourages the Spirit in me. And when you and I begin to proclaim truth, and we, you know, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you know how you declare that truth? It has a way of inciting joy into the other person. Amen. Even when I'm listening to your struggle, there's a way to incite joy into you. Why? Remember, joy is a response to what God is what? Doing what you see God doing. Either he has already done it or he will do it, right? And so when I'm listening to you talking about what you're going through, that's an opportunity for me to incite joy inside of you, because I'm going to remember what God has already done, and I'm going to remind you of what God will do. And when I start to remind you of what God will do, what's going to happen? You're going to get excited, as long as you're not fighting. Amen? Because, you know, sometimes we fight. Sometimes we say, you'll hear the truth of God, and then you'll say, but. What you mean, but? Did you not read the scripture? Ain't nothing too hard for God. What you talking about, but? You start talking about God. You just don't understand my situation. I don't need to understand your situation. The creator of the universe, the one who holds the heavens together, he understands your situation. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I just happen to be a vehicle that's telling you about a good God who is able to move in your circumstance. Stop coming up with excuses to get happy. And so we can incite joy in one another. And can I just encourage you to be tenacious in inciting joy into somebody else. Don't back down so easy just because they stubborn in their spirits, just because they are expressing to you that they've been through a lot and they got a little doubt in their hearts and mind. Don't back up. You know who God is. You know what God is able to do. You know that there is nothing that is too hard for God. You know that he is the unstoppable God. Stop backing up and you stand firm. Hold your ground until your brother or your sister gets excited and see he's the same God that you see. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I got excited. I was trying to incite excitement in you. Trying to stand my ground. Amen. Okay. So watch Mary. Mary, after Elizabeth says to Mary that blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary responds with this. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She's doing nothing but praising God. She's excited about what God is doing, and it is an expression of great joy as she does it. It says, his mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Her response to Elizabeth was one of great joy, because of what was going on with her and because of what God was doing in the process. The time had come for the promised Messiah to arrive. These great expressions of joy come forth because the Spirit of the living God is active and moving in Zechariah, active and moving in Elizabeth, active and moving in Mary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I declare to you, when the Spirit of God is active and moving in his children, that there will be great expressions of joy that will come forth, because we see what God is doing and how he is doing it, and we get excited about the God who is fulfilling his promises to you and to me. As we see him do his great work into all of humanity, we get excited because our eyes have been fixed so that we can recognize the work of God. Our ears have been tuned to the frequency of his voice so that we can hear him when he speaks and when he declares, and our hearts have been made ready to see and recognize what he is doing. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God is active on the inside of you and me, and because the Spirit of the living God is is active on the inside of you and me. He says that we have an expression of great joy. Therefore, because of Jesus, I'm going to find joy. In this holiday season, I'm going to find joy. Beyond this holiday season, I will find joy. Because of Jesus, in good times, I'm going to find joy. Why? Because every good and perfect gift comes from God, and it is because of Jesus that I'm enjoying the goodness. In bad times, I'm going to find joy. Why? Because I know that these things won't last forever. Trouble don't last all way, and I know that he will take my momentary suffering and use it as an opportunity for his great name to be glorified. So therefore, in my suffering, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to count it joy. Why? Because I see what God is doing in my suffering. He's fixing me. He's shaping me. He's molding me after his own image so that I can look more and more like him. So I get excited about my suffering. No, I don't like it. And no, I don't want it to last that long. But I know that when he is done, as Job said, I shall come forth as pure gold. And therefore, there will be rejoicing that resides in my being because of my suffering. So in good times, I'm going to rejoice and express joy. In bad times, I'm going to rejoice and express joy because the Spirit of the living God is inside of me and he's active inside of me and he allows me to experience whatever comes my way and see it through the lens of God, to know that he who is with me is greater than the one that is coming against me. He allows me to know and see that he has a way and he can make a way out of no way. So it is because of Jesus that I shall not only be filled with joy, but have an expression of joy that comes by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. I need you to take a moment and think about something in your life where you're needing God to move. Think about it. Doesn't matter how big it is, think about it. Whether it's in your life, whether it's in the life of your family, think about it. You got it on your mind? Now think about what you want God to do with it. Think about what you want God to do with it. Now, think about what God said he would do with it. Think about what God said he would do with your situation. Thinking about it, thinking about what you want God to do with it, thinking about what God said he would do with the situation. If you can't remember what God said he would do about the situation, say, Holy Spirit, help me to remember. Holy Spirit, give me revelation about what God wants to do with my situation. Thinking about it? Got it there, right? You got a picture of what you want to do with it. You got a picture of what God wants to do with it. Joy is the response of seeing God move. Anticipating. You recognize what he has done in the past, but you are seeing what he will do in the future. Amen. So now that you have looked at your situation, thought about what you want to happen with your situation, remembering how God wants to move in your situation, can you now have an expression of joy? Can you now have an expression of joy? Right where you are, in your space. If you need to move away from somebody, that's okay. Right now where you are in your space, you saw Zachariah's expression. You saw Mary's expression of what joy looked like as they began to proclaim the greatness of God. Will you just take a moment and just begin to express joy unto the Lord? Will you just kind of go ahead and open up your mouth and move your lips and begin to express joy unto the Lord about the very situation that you were talking about that you need and want God to do something with? Will you go ahead and open up your mouth, whether it's a hallelujah or whether it is a recounting of what he said? Will you just open up your mouth and have an expression of joy about what God wants to do in your situation, because it is a response of you seeing God move, and it seems like nothing has happened yet, but you're responding to what God wants to do declared by his word. Amen. But if your lips ain't moving, that means this is your expression of joy. Amen. Zechariah had his expression. Mary had her expression. There were other expressions, but it's your expression of joy because you are remembering what God has already done, and you're looking forward and you're saying he will do more. And I'm going to help you in Jesus. All right. So you can begin to take your situation. If your situation is around provision, you can go ahead and make the declaration. God said that he will provide for you according to what you need, according to his riches in glory. And so with joy, you can look at your needy moment, your needy situation, and just go ahead and express joy to God that he will provide according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're fighting with a sickness in your body, he has declared that it is by the stripes of Jesus Christ that you have been healed. I know your symptoms are stubborn. I know they keep reminding you that they are there. I know you feeling the pain, but as an expression of joy, you can go ahead and declare unto the Lord, thank you that I am healed, and by your stripes I am healed. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for being the healer of my life. As an expression of your joy and looking forward to what he will do, go ahead and shout unto him. Yeah. If you like me, sometimes I have some pain in my back, but you know what I do? I go ahead and give thanks unto the Lord that, oh, this pain won't last forever. And then when the stiffness loosens up and I'm able to move, I go ahead and get my dance on for the Lord, thanking him that he is able. Will you express joy? Don't wait for it to happen. Look forward to when it's coming. That's called walking in faith. Amen. There are some relationships that have been broken. Listen, God is the restorer of broken relationships. Amen. And what you can do is you can go ahead and start reacting and responding and have an expression of joy for what he will do in those relationships that are broken. Amen. It's making some of us whole. Because he has said, I want you to be whole. I want you to be healed, and I want you to be whole. And I want you to be growing. And so he's doing it by the power of his spirit. And what you and I need to do is practice. We need to practice. We need to practice expressing joy. As we allow his spirit to fill us up fresh and new. It means you're letting him have his way with you. Amen. You let him have his way with you. So you can become an expression of great joy unto the Lord. I'm telling you, If you take that situation and if you lay it down before him and you begin to look forward to what God wants to do and you have an expression of great joy, I'm telling you right now, you can believe that he's going to change it. He's going to turn it around. He's going to fix it, and he's going to make it an opportunity for you to come forth and testify about his power. The fact that there is nothing that can hold him back nor stop him.